Well, Simon Peter had gone back to the only thing he knew. He and some of the other disciples, his brother Andrew, James, and John, had all been in the fishing business before Jesus had walked by and said, "Follow me." And on some kind of crazy impulse, they did. And for the last 3 years, he had lived way out of his comfort zone. He had seen the rabbi he was following crucified. Oh, that's not quite true. He didn't see it because he and the other male disciples ran away and hid. He had heard about his rabbi being crucified from the women who stayed. And in John's gospel, of course, John stayed behind with the women. So Peter didn't know what to do. Jesus had appeared twice to his followers, told them to wait. But what do you do while waiting? You do the only thing you know how to do. He goes back to fishing. And you heard the story. It was a very unsuccessful venture in fishing until the stranger on the shore calls out and says, "Throw the net out on the other side." And then they have such an abundance, they don't know what to do with it. And when they recognize this abundance, they recognize who it is, who the stranger has been calling them from the shore, that it was Jesus. He fed them. You know, Jesus does that a lot, doesn't he? Feeding crowds, feeding his disciples, breaking bread, giving it to them. This time it's not bread and wine, but bread and fish. And then he enters into a conversation with Simon Peter, except he doesn't call him Simon Peter. Since Peter has gone back to his old ways, Jesus calls him by his old name. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Well, who are the these? I think we immediately jump to the conclusion that he means the other disciples, and that could very well be. But I think it's also possible that he means the fish and the fishing boat. And the normal life that Peter had gone back to, becoming not Simon Peter, but returning to be Simon, son of John. "Do you love me more than all this that makes you feel normal, that makes you feel comfortable, that makes you feel okay?" And Simon, son of John, answers, "Of course I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Then a second time, Jesus addresses Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Maybe he didn't hear the first time. So Simon, son of John, says, "You know I love you." And then a third time, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter got his feelings hurt. I'm not sure why, because after all, he had denied Jesus three times. He says, "You know everything. Come on, you already know the answer before you ask the question. Of course I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my lambs, feed my sheep." It's interesting, the whole structure of this conversation. It's all around threes. It starts much earlier. On a night when Jesus is on trial, and Simon, who had been renamed Peter, is squatting down by a charcoal fire. And someone comes up and recognizes him and says, "You're one of his followers, aren't you?" And Peter says, "Are you kidding? I don't know him. I don't know the guy." And he does that twice more. So there are three denials. There are three questions. There are three answers. And there are three commands. The interesting thing is they are all the same in each case. So when Jesus says, do you love me more than these, whether he means the disciples or whether he means this normal life of fishing, it could be taken, and quite frankly, many Christians have taken that to mean, hey, Peter has a special relationship with Jesus. He loves Jesus more than all anything else in the world, all the disciples, all the fish, all the normalcy. It's kind of the me and Jesus got our own thing going mentality, you know? And it is exactly the opposite of what Jesus is saying. What he says is, if you love me more than these, take care of these. That's how you show you love me more than these, by loving these. Some of what John Wesley called the heathen philosophers, which we still have around today, would say, oh, no, you just look out for number one. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Just look out for yourself, which again is exactly the opposite of what Jesus is saying. Our rugged individualism that we literally worship in this culture is absolutely the opposite of what Jesus intends. If you love me, he says, take care of them. To show that you love me more than these, I'm putting these in your care. And so we have been given each other to care for, sheep of Jesus' fold. And we've been given this sheepfold. I know it's a beautiful building, but think of it for a minute as a sheepfold, a sheep pen. Because that's the image Jesus uses. We're taking care of this sheep pen so we can gather here, so we can go out and tend those sheep and feed those lambs that are not of this fold, that perhaps don't feel welcome in other folds that claim Jesus as their Lord, who have never been told that they are beloved of God, or have been told just the opposite, who have been pushed away or simply neglected. We gather in this sheepfold so we can care for Jesus' sheep out there, because he's not just talking to Peter. He's talking to us. You've been hearing a lot about money recently. I know. And for some of you, what I'm about to say is going to be a repeat of what I said in the announcements. But you know, I've recognized something. Not everybody is here at the time I do the announcements. Some of you are sitting out there saying, he does announcements? Right? So excuse me if you've heard this before. Next week, we are going to be doing some really, really significant things. First of all, we're going to be celebrating Holy Communion. And that's significant in part because in our tradition, everyone is invited. No one is excluded. And then we're going to be reading the names of those saints, by St. Paul's definition, who are part of this congregation who have died since last All Saints' Day. We'll be lighting candles, ringing bells. We're going to be inviting you to come forward. And some of you have already sent in these cards, but some of you will be bringing your cards on which you've written a number. Now, that number represents a dollar amount, but it represents a whole lot more than that. It represents what that middle hymn says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's an offering of your life. For some of you, that will just be a card that will support the ongoing budget, so we can continue to share the good news that God's love is for everyone and to tend Jesus' sheep out in the world, even if they don't know that they're his sheep. Some of you will be able to do that and also turn in a card that will help take care of the sheepfold here, the legacy campaign. I said earlier, we have raised $2.9 million toward a $4.7 million goal. But the goal is not just a money amount. The goal is that we care for the things and the people that have been placed in our hands and in our care. We tend God's sheep and we tend God's sheepfold so we have a place to gather. We have a place from which to go out into the world to proclaim the good news of God's love for all. I'm hoping you'll be here next Sunday. I'm hoping you will listen to those names carefully. You may know some of them, you may not. Doesn't matter. These are people who shaped the lives of us here, who offered us this legacy as a building and this legacy as a tradition. I hope you'll come forward for communion when invited. I hope you'll bring those cards, one or both. Leave them at the chancel rail. But I hope more than that, you'll bring that commitment to offer your life in service of the one who commanded, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And then I have a second hope. Now, I've shared this with some of you. It's a very personal one. As some of you know, this is the 140th anniversary of this church as a station church, this congregation as a station church. My hope is that on the 200th anniversary, that our daughters, Sarah and Elizabeth, can bring their grandchildren. Now, they may still be here, or they may be scattered to the winds, but they will bring them into this sanctuary, and they'll tell them about the windows, and they'll tell them about how their lives were touched being here. And they'll tell them about this cross that Chris Tibbett made. And they'll say, you know, your great-grandfather stood right up there to preach. Not where he was supposed to stand, but right there in the middle. And they'll take him upstairs and say, you know, this was your great-grandfather's office. And he worked until he was 92 because your great-grandmother said that if he came home, he couldn't bring those books with him. And they'll go to the classroom and they'll say, this is where he taught Bible study. And they'll go out to the columbarium and they'll say, you know, that's where your great-grandfather and great-grandmother are. Now, they gave their bodies to Vanderbilt, but when Vanderbilt was finished with them, they were ashes. And those ashes are right there, and you can see their names right there. That's my hope. My hope is that somehow my gift to this church, in whatever form it takes, is a part of a legacy of all those who have gifted me, who have been here before, who have allowed me to serve in this incredibly beautiful sheepfold, to worship with this incredibly beautiful and profound music, to work with amazing colleagues and laity, that I can pass a little of that gift along. Let me just invite you to do the same. Thanks be to God.